not a phone Bible. So I want him to stand. I think he's going to sit. You are going to sit there, and you have a mic with you, a cordless mic, and you pick the mic. So Kasuba is going to help me. He'll be helping me read text. So start Psalm 124, verse 1 to 8. As a person that is helping me, you have to stand. As you are reading, you have to read with a smile.
Psalm 124, verse 1 to 8. I'm reading from the King James Version. A song of degrees of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's sit there, but I'm going to ask you again to come up and pray. Father God, thank you this morning. Thank you for everyone that is here, Lord. Lord, as we listen and as we hear your word, I pray that, Lord, would you speak to us. Father God, as I stand here and as my friends here are seated, Lord, give us that posture to receive from you. Father, Lord, I pray that your word is light and your word is life. And may it be alive this morning. Father God, that together we can be edified and above all, Jesus to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. How through difficult times worship brings deliverance. How through challenging times with worship you can know the peace of God. And how through hard times with worship you can know the power of God. Today, this morning, as I speak, as we look at worship, I want to ask to look at worship in this light. Worship wins wars. Worship wins battles. The question that I want to ask us and myself: how do you handle times of crisis? I'm sure everyone at some point, even maybe now, you're experiencing some crisis, some difficulty in your life, some setback in your life. How do you handle, or how are you handling that crisis? There's a story in the Bible we've all heard about. There's a story that talks about a king. A king called Jehoshaphat. And you can read about his story from 2 Chronicles. You can start from chapter 17 through 20. But before we read that text, before I ask Asuba to come and read that text, I just want to give a brief background about this king. And maybe in our own time, especially students, why your brains are so fresh. In our own time, if you may, I want us maybe to go back and read 1 Chronicles, the first chapter. And like me, maybe at some point, you may have spent some time studying the Old Testament. And if you've never done that, I would encourage you to do so. 1 Chronicles, you notice that the Bible will be taking you through genealogies. This person begat this person. And sometimes, like you and me, especially me, when I get to search, I get tempted, to skip. Just looking at names, name after name, I'd skip. I would encourage you not to skip. There's a reason why genealogies are in the Bible. When you come to such passages of scripture, sit back, ask God to reveal something. There's a reason why those are in scripture. You can look at genealogies from Genesis, talking about Adam through to Abraham. In your own time again, you can go and look at Ruth explaining the lineage of David. In your own time again, if you want to jump, you can jump into the New Testament. You look at Matthew and Luke. Both Gospels talking about Jesus, with Matthew focusing on the royal lineage through David. And then Luke, who look back again, sending us back to Adam. There is something important about that. And 1 Chronicles there, from chapter 1 to 9, gives an extensive lineage of people. And I want us to start from there, where the author of Chronicles sets the scene as he stands with Adam in chapter 1 of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. And then he takes us to the king we are going to talk about today, Jehoshaphat. From there, the author then will take us to 2 Chronicles, where now Jehoshaphat takes kingship from his dad, from his father. His father's name was called Asa. Are you there? Like I always say, please, this is very, very important. If you see anybody nodding off, please ask them graciously just to stand and then sit again. This is very, very important. So when we see Jehoshaphat taking kingship from his dad, what does he do? The Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat places and fortifies cities in all Judah. And he sets armies in all the important areas around the kingdom. And then the author also records that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he walked with the Lord. Because of that, the Lord then establishes the kingdom. And because of Jehoshaphat's posture to God, the Bible says he's given riches and he's given honor in that land. Jehoshaphat's heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. Not just courageous, his heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. He took God seriously. You and me, sometimes it can be courageous in the ways of the world. We want to be courageous in our career. We want to chase after every money. But the Bible here says he was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And because of that, if you see in the text, I'm just giving the background. You can, when you look back home, you can read about it yourself. His courage drove him to driving out idols. Wherever he could see an idol, he would drive it out. Remember, he's taking over his kingship from his dad. And the Bible says the father somehow entertained idolatry. But when his son came, he said, "We can't have this. The God we serve can't share the same platform with idols. These will be driven out." And Jehoshaphat again made the word of God central to his reign. As you can see in chapter 17, verse 9, the word of God was very, very important to his reign. He drove out the idols, but the word, the logos, was very, very important. It was central to his rule. Maybe let's just pause a bit. I don't know how you look at the word when you come here or at home. When you see the Bible, or when you hear of the word of God, I don't know what comes to mind. And I encourage us to start taking the word of God seriously, like Jehoshaphat did. The word of God was central to his reign. May the word of the Lord be central as you work in your workplaces. May the word of God be central in your households. May the word of God be central in your relationships. Wherever you are, let the word be central. And I believe the teaching of the word of God by his spirit creates the climate in which meaningful transformation takes place. From what we can see in scripture, the word of God, because it was central to Jehoshaphat's reign, that word brought protection to his kingdom. As we can see from verse 10 of chapter 17. We can also note that as he takes over from his dad, and I want to encourage, I don't know where my son is, I want my son to do better than me. I want my son, my sons to learn, to look at my life. Where did dad do good? And where can we do things better? And I pray that the Lord may give them the grace to do things well and to do things better. During his dad's reign, if you read scripture, his dad, while acknowledging God, while knowing he knew God as well. But how we learned, this is how we learned. He led his people by commanding them to obey God. He would command them, can you seek the Lord? When his son came, he says, well, this is all right, Dad. But what we're going to do is, instead of commanding them, let us teach them the word of God so that they can know the word by themselves. Because scripture says, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Other versions will say, the truth will set you free. Where Asa commanded, Jehoshaphat taught. He appointed people to teach the word of God. The word of God was central. I believe when the word of God is taught faithfully, when you teach the word of God faithfully, and I pray that the Lord may give me the grace to teach my children and my household the word of God faithfully. When you teach the word of God faithfully, faithfulness follows. And that's Jehoshaphat. But as you read through, you note that Jehoshaphat was just a human being like you and me. The struggles that we might be having now, he may have had the same. He's having it orally and the Lord is using it. Guess what? And I put a but. But. And I step back. Lord, why is I'm reading through scripture and I note this, but in chapter 18, we see and learn that Jehoshaphat was just like a man like you and me. He fell. By failing, he decided to make an alliance, a very unwise alliance, with a certain king from the north. King Ahab. You can read that in chapter 18. And the road, the Bible says, King Ahab, why he thought he was following the Lord? Actually, he was entertaining worldliness in his reign, in his rule. And that's a king that Jehoshaphat teamed up with. I remember what scripture says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I'm speaking so slowly so that you can take this in. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And this is what Jehoshaphat does. The Lord is using him. He's driving out these demons. But then he falls. And he makes a link with somebody that is worshipping idols. And the lesson from that, again, we have to be wary of this. And I wrote this down. No matter how rooted you are, no matter how strong, how faithful you can be, the world is enticing. And I put a note to myself here, Stanley, don't enter into alliances with people that are worshipping idols. You can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. The Lord says, don't worship any idol. Stanley, I probably might want to put your name there. Agnes, Mike, Stanley, do not worship idols. Don't enter into an alliance with people that are worshipping anything else but God. But because he was following the Lord, Jehoshaphat realized, after entering into this alliance with this person, they went to war and they were defeated. And then in humility, coming back to his kingdom, at that point, it's like the Lord spoke to him. He was confronted by a prophet. The prophet Jehu confronts him in chapter 19, and he tells him, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Are you following me? I'm just giving the background. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? This is what Jehoshaphat did. Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. The Lord can do that. He might not look at what you've done. If your posture changes, the Lord will always punish sin. Remember, he did the same to his own son. The Bible says, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And what did God do? He had to punish sin. His son had to die because God hates sin. But like a prodigal son, Jehoshaphat came back to his senses. He came back to his senses. And whatever you've done, you may have made alliances with people that are worshipping idols. It's never too late. You can still come back. Come back home. And the Lord is there to receive you. You know, as he comes back to his senses, and he knew, you know, at the bottom of his heart, as he was entering this alliance, and maybe it could be you and me, as you make that decision to veer away from what the Lord wants to do, you know deep down your heart that this is wrong. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. He's entering into this alliance with Ahab. Chapter 18, verse 4, the Bible says, Jehoshaphat tells his king, so my friend, while we are going into this war, can we inquire of the Lord? Are you sure what we're doing is right? And that tells me he had a conscience. A still small voice was speaking to him. Even though you are entering into this is wrong. That could be you and me. There are some decisions that we make, and the Lord will be saying, Stanley, that's wrong. That's wrong. And he knows the word, and he says, can we inquire of the Lord? But even that, he still went ahead into an alliance. But thank God he came back to his senses. And he went back to God, seeking God. And the lesson there is, when you fall, ask the Lord to get you back up. There's still room for you. When you fall down, get back up. And the Lord will lift you up. Amen. So Jehoshaphat, as he's now organizing himself and going back to God and aligning himself with God, and he repents and tells God, Lord, I'm coming back to you to rule this kingdom according to the way you want me to. He comes back. It is at that point when everything seemed to be okay. He's back now in the lane. It was at that point that the enemy strikes. Imagine. He repents of his sins. And now he's in the right boots with God. And then the enemy strikes. At this point, I would want to ask the one that is helping me to preach to come back up here. It's going to be a long read. But I want us to just to take each word as it is. And please read clearly with the voice of a journalist. Help us to replay 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 26. I want us to hear the story.
In chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heaven? And in thine hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not that thou our God, who bidst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Esau, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hear, King, ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat Sorry. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which were stripped off for themselves more than could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering to the spoil, it was so much. Genesis 6. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka unto this day.
Amen. I don't know what you read, the stories you read to the children. For me, just listening to that story, that could make a very good bedtime story. It's so just so nice. It wasn't, it's like you're reading a real novel. If you can, please try it. Read it tonight to your children. They might not understand it, but you'll be getting it defined as you read through. Worship wins wars. Worship wins wars. Reading through there, verse 3, like I said, Jehoshaphat has just come back to God. He has repented. And he's happy that the Lord now is with him. Things seem to be all right. His heart is in line with God. And he's ready now to rule as before. His house is in order. Probably if he had a smart TV, he might have been watching PSG versus Inter. Battling it out. Comfortable, because now he's happy. The Lord has forgiven him. It was at that point when things were comfortable. Then he hears the enemies coming. And in verse 3, the Bible says, Jehoshaphat feared. A king, feared. Just like your name. There are things that would hit you when you least expect it. What comes to you? The normal thing, the natural thing that we do is fear. Sometimes we say, Nemishishai Makuma. Fear, that's what fear does. Fear has that crippling effect. At that point, you're saying, Lord, I thought things were all right. I repented and it's supposed to be there for me. And this comes. Fear. But then what did Jehoshaphat do? Did he just sit there in fear? No, the Bible says he worshipped God. He moved forward in worship. And there are lessons that we can learn from that story. And probably I'll just pick a few. But when you read that story during that bedtime, you can pick so many lessons. One lesson that if you're writing, you can write this down. Worship imparts faith in you. Worship imparts faith. Sometimes things might not be working out. I met a man that I look up to. He told me, Stanley, you know, fill your life with worship. In your car, let there be worship songs. In your house, let there be worship. Worship imparts faith in you. You could be having a difficult time in your life. I can guarantee you, start worshiping the Lord. And you'll see what that will do. Faith will just rise. Faith will... Power's gone. Can you hear me? Faith will rise in you as you worship. Learning from Jehoshaphat. Can you hear me at the back there? When fear comes, and at times your faith can get challenged. But Jehoshaphat, as we can learn, it recalls God's character. In verse 6, it talks about the omnipotence of God. Lord, you are omnipotent. You are so powerful. You are the all-powerful God. That's worship. And he recounts God's works. You know, God loves it when you remind him. Not that he forgets. We just tell him, Lord, you did this. You've done this before. Can't you do it now? Lord, you can do it. If you did it for them, you can do it for me. And also, Jehoshaphat reveals his stance. He says, Lord, I'm powerless. And listening to him read that, Lord, I'm powerless. This issue, this problem is so big. I can't handle it. I can't handle it, Lord. I'm so small. He reveals his stance. I'm just human. I'm powerless. But guess what he says? Though I'm powerless, Lord, my eyes are fixed on you. My eyes are fixed on you. That's his stance. Two, worship invites God. When you worship God, remember, it imparts faith in you, but worship also invites God. Invites the atmosphere and the presence of God as you worship. In verse 13, they all stood before God, looking to him. And that at that point, then the prophet comes and speaks a word. Worship invites God. Worship also sets up the atmosphere for God to speak. As God comes, he will speak into your situation. And the way God speaks, he can use his word, he can use situations around you, and he can also use people. That's why you have to be attentive to what God is doing. Worship invades situations as well. But when God invades situations, I'm sorry to say, or I'm happy to say, you also have a part to play. And how do you play that part? You have to stand firm. And you don't stand firm in your own power. You stand firm in the power of God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he tells them, having ought to stand, you've done everything. You've sought the face of God. Having ought to stand, he says, stand. Therefore, stand. You've got a part to play. You have to stand in God. As you stand, you are holding your positions, just like Jehoshaphat did. Hold your positions, and you have to know who you are in God, that you are a child of God as you hold that position. Hold your position for your children. Hold your position for your children. With what we are exposed to in the world now, there are so many things. I'd want to encourage parents, those of you with children, may God give us the grace to hold our positions, to voice out life over our children. As they go out there, they'll be exposed to so many things. May God help us to hold our positions, to protect our children. Hold your position in your workplace. When you are there, you are a Christian. You are there, you are a representation of the kingdom of God. Hold your position. Remember, do not be an equally yoked with unbelievers where you are, like Jehoshaphat did. You worship the true and living God. Hold your position in your workplaces. And then what did Jehoshaphat do? He sought counsel. When you are confronted with situations, at times, actually, it's very, very important that you seek counsel. Seek counsel from people that you know can be able to speak life and the life of God into your life. In verse 21, Jehoshaphat had to seek counsel. And what came out of that? They had to assemble a singing team. They had to assemble a band. Imagine somebody comes, Putin comes, wanting to fight you, wanting to fight Zambia with all his artillery. And Haka Indehichire Makozon, Mercy, Emmanuel say, guys, I want you to go and sing. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Instead of taking the soldiers, it takes the singing team. We are going to sing to God. We are going to worship God. As you sing to God, it's not just singing. You have to learn to pick the right songs. Don't pick a Kalindula. Don't pick Bob Marley reggae music. Pick and select the right songs. Jehoshaphat and the singing team, they picked the right song and they said, give thanks unto the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they were doing that, when the Lord fights, you would see that this is the Lord. As they began to sing, the enemies started fighting each other. And that's what the Lord does. He will confuse your enemy as you worship him. This morning, as we come to a close, I don't know what situation you are in. I don't know what issues you've been confronted with. I don't know what experience you've had yesterday, last week, last month. What has the Lord done for you? What is it that you can put a finger to? That as I sang the song that I give thanks to the Lord for his love and his mercy endures forever, and the Lord came through. What can you put a finger to? Maybe you experienced healing. Maybe you experienced reconciliation. After singing that song, the Lord came through for you. Maybe you just passed an exam like the doctors did, our students. after singing that song. You passed with flying colors. Maybe you just secured a job. What is it that the Lord has done after you sing that song? Maybe it's a victory over a temptation. You've held your temper. You've held your temper. Somebody stepped on your toes. You've held your temper. Maybe for a very long time, you've not clicked on that mouse, that picture, that video, that image that always makes you feel guilty. You've held that temptation. That's victory. You sing that song, the Lord's love endures forever. And the Lord has helped you to hold that temper. The Lord has helped you to not click on that video. Maybe you've resisted gossip. For a very long time, that has been your character. As you are singing the song to the Lord, love is love endures forever. You've resisted that gossip. Is that what the Lord has done? I'm saying that because of what Jehoshaphat and his team did. The Lord came through for them. But as you read through, the Bible says they did not forget what the Lord did. Sometimes we forget. Many times we forget. After they picked the spoils, 3 days they were picking the spoils. But the Lord, the Bible records, they came back. They came back and worshipped God. As the Lord has given you victory in that line, in your life, you've resisted gossip. You've reconciled to that person that you've been finding it difficult to reconcile with. Would you come back to God and give him the glory? As God has emerged victorious in your life, remember, worship wins wars. You've had that war in your life. Would you come back to God after picking those spoils and worship the Lord? I know we don't have music. Can I ask Emmanuel and the team just to come up here? And as they come up here, in fact, this is a test for us. Without music, power's gone. Can you be able to sing to the Lord? Can you be able to tell God, Lord, you've come through for me. Your love endures forever. Can we just stand together and maybe lead us into that song? The song that you started with.